Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
That's right, you are Locked On Broncos. It is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach, an NFL draft analyst. Luke, what'd you do this weekend, bro?
Same old, same old. It's getting to the time of year where I'm starting to really dig into the NFL draft. I'm going to be covering it with Inside the Pylon this year, so really excited to get to work.
Check out that stuff over at Inside the Pylon and the work Luke's doing over there. I actually, over the weekend, Luke, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch this movie yet, but the wife and I red-boxed Hacksaw Ridge, the conscientious objector based on that I guess it was a documentary about 10 or 15 years ago that was done on Desmond Doss, who joined the Army in World War II, but refused to carry a weapon and wanted to be a medic and everything that went into that. It was a Mel Gibson movie, and the wife and I watched it, and I thought it was phenomenal. And I don't know if it's going to win. Well, let me put it this way. This show is being tracked before. We're tracking this on Sunday, so it's before the Oscars, but I have high hopes that they'll come home with some kind of hardware.
I mean, as I open my Twitter as we speak, they already won for sound mixing, so I think they're doing great so far. I have not yet had a chance to watch it yet. I've heard great things about it from family and friends, so it's definitely one that is on my list to check out. One of these days I'm going to get to put down the tape and open up the film again, so to speak, and that day is after the NFL draft, unfortunately.
Well, Mel Gibson just does such a phenomenal job with just the visceral nature of war violence, you know, whether it's Apocalypto or going back to even Braveheart. And he builds on that body of work in Hacksaw Ridge. So I'll be curious to get your thoughts on it once you watch it. But hey, this is a show that we are committed to bringing you 5 days a week, a podcast on your Denver Broncos. And we're not here to just report the news. We're going to do a deep dive on your favorite team. And one thing that really helps us out is when you retweet the episodes on Twitter, when you share them on Facebook. Heck, I don't even care. Text your friends. Help us spread the word on this thing. Check out our work at MileHighHuddle.com. More killer premium Broncos content. Deep dive stuff again for the Broncoholics. Subscribers, premium members get 10% off on tickets and 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Just take a second, open the phone, Twitter, find at Locked On Broncos, and give us a follow. And the home of our show, of course, is Audio Boom, but make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, and if you're an Android user, on Stitcher. Now, one thing we need to talk about here, Luke, is the Broncos bit the bullet on Russell Okung, and although they had until March to make a decision, they did the right thing in terms of giving him an opportunity to get positioned for free agency and notified him late last week that they were not going to pick up his option. Had they picked up the option, the Broncos would have been on the hook for about $19.5 million over 2 years guaranteed. And just frankly, I think, Luke, what it really boils down to, and we've talked about it on this show ad nauseum, but Okung's performance in his 1 year with the Broncos, even though it could be argued he was the least of their problems on the O-line, it just didn't justify the cost the Broncos were looking at moving forward.
Yeah, the NFL is above all a money-driven league, and for a guy making that much money, you know, it wasn't worth it, quite frankly. And now, obviously, Denver is aware of what they're doing because they're going to cut a guy who was, you know, their left tackle this past season, and so they know that they're going to be going in needing probably two starting tackles and probably even a depth swing tackle is where they're at in terms of their roster right now. The roster is depleted. They're going to need some depth on it, and they're going to need some starting quality guys. So, you know, everybody in the scouting and talent acquisition department, they're working overtime right now. They might be sleeping at their desks because this is the time of year where they are needed the most.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt the Broncos have a massive hole to fill now at left tackle. And really, for the better part of the last two seasons, the Broncos' offensive line has been a shambles, inconsistent, patchwork type of thing. But the big priority is solving the left tackle situation and then let the dominoes fall from there. And from what I've heard, some things also that Eric Trickle has told me, who will be on the show tomorrow, who has some knowledge on this, the Broncos are looking for a known commodity at left tackle moving forward. Could that be an Andrew Whitworth? Could it be a Riley Reiff? You know, maybe. But the Broncos want to be confident in this position, and they could even be exploring the trade market to make it happen. I mean, Luke, how would you feel about the Broncos revisiting the whole Joe Thomas trade?
Well, I'm pretty sure I've said it on this show before, but, you know, this comes up every single year, such and such a team. Oh, are they going to trade for Joe Thomas? Oh, you know, maybe it's the Patriots. You know, they have a tackle go down. Well, are they going to trade for Joe Thomas? At this point, I think it's just going to be a pretty consistent narrative from sports writers. It's going to give them something to get clicks on. I don't quite honestly think Joe Thomas is ever going to get moved out of Cleveland at this point. He's there, you know, come hell or high water. Nobody seems to be interested enough in trading for him, and nobody is really going to complain about him staying in Cleveland because he's that good a player.
See, and I think there is something to the whole where there's smoke, there's fire thing as it relates to the Broncos and Thomas, because the Broncos and the Browns came close to consummating this deal back in 2015, right before the trade deadline, but Cleveland's asking price was just ultimately too rich for Elway's blood. At one point, they wanted Denver's 2016 first rounder, their second rounder, and even their third, or in place of that, Shaq Barrett. And Elway basically, in so many words, told him to pound sand. However, here's why I think this changes and why this is a conversation that has merit today. Thomas is almost 2 years older, and the Broncos are in a much more, for lack of a better term, desperate situation. The question for me, Luke, would be what is the right price for Joe Thomas? You know, he's a perennial All-Pro. He's made the All-Pro team every season dating back to 2008. Seven times in that period, he was a first-team All-Pro, including last year. But he's 32. He's still under contract through 2018. And here's what I like. Thomas will only count for $10 million against the cap in 2017 and 2018. And he would most certainly solve Denver's problem at left tackle. And I just think the Broncos are now in more of a situation where Elway and company could be looking at this with a new perspective, and just based on some things that I've heard. And so, Luke, we're going to talk about the compensatory picks Denver was awarded here in a minute. But including them, you know, another thing we got to keep in mind, the Broncos, Luke, are going to have 10 picks in the draft this year, plenty of capital, in other words, to make a deal. Let's say this was a two-way street and reciprocal and both sides wanted to get something done. What would you, if you were GM for a day, our listeners will want to know, what would you give up if you're John Elway to get Joe Thomas on the roster?
Well, first of all, I think Cleveland, you look at their situation, they already have 11 picks in this draft, and that includes two top 12 picks. They don't really need more picks. So if I'm going to call them up and offer them, hey, we're going to give you a couple extra picks, I don't know that they really need that more. Sure, they can trade up. But again, these, you know, everything we've heard is that they're going to swap, you know, kind of look at trading down out of 12. Now, of course, the interesting thing is, what if the rumors are true, you know, the underground top secret rumors, and they're interested in Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, in that case, sure, give them picks. They want picks. They're going to stockpile picks because they're going to end up having to trade a boatload of picks for Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're going to need to have some picks left to work with. So I think it's a pretty talent devoid, I think, roster. And again, you can swap kind of a minor-ish player like the Shaq Barrett type. It wouldn't surprise me if they flipped, you know, say a Capri Bibbs and a maybe a fourth rounder, kind of a deal.
Well, again, I think it's something, and I'm with you most of the time when it comes to these, you know, type of rumors that you kind of have to take some of them with a grain of salt. But my personal take on it as an analyst is I see some of the stars aligning in a way that I would not be shocked if a deal gets done for Elway and the Broncos that brings Joe Thomas to the Mile High City. Now, Luke, about the compensatory picks, the Broncos were expecting to receive four, but the hope was that they were going to get 2/3, a fourth, and a seventh for the talent they lost on the free agent market last year. Instead, the NFL gave them 1/3, a fifth, and 2 7th rounders. Now, if you look at Elway's history in the compensatory program over the last 2 years, he's had great success. Trevor Siemian, Max Garcia, Justin Simmons, Devontae Booker, Will Parks. These are all guys, Luke, that were bought with compensatory picks. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of damage Elway can do in the draft this time around.
Well, if there's one thing we've really noticed about the Broncos over the last few years, quite frankly, it's been that they've had a lot of success late in the draft. And they've been able to find those guys really late on day three, you know, early to late day three, where they're going to find guys who can go out and make a play. That's important. That's exactly what you want from an NFL scouting department. And we see that in the list of guys right there. Now, of course, with this year, they're going to have Mr. Irrelevant, which I am always fascinated by, just to see the jersey and the special helmet brought out for the Mr. Irrelevant, who of course is the last right. player taken in the draft. They had it last year, but since they won the Super Bowl and there were no 7th round comp picks awarded, but they went and traded it away. So Tennessee got it. But, you know, there's always an extra level of rookie joking when it comes to Mr. Irrelevant. So I would love to see that in Denver this year. It's just kind of one of those quirky NFL traditions.
Well, and it bears mentioning also that these compensatory picks are tradable this year for the first time ever. So, you know, the Broncos, they have a stacked roster. They have great depth at certain positions. They could end up, you know, spending all 10 picks in the draft this year, or they could package some deals, whether it's on, you know, the NFL trade market or on draft day. Now, we got another situation we need to break down before we get out of here today. But before we do, I want to talk about a study done by the Interactive Advertising Bureau and Edison Research, which shows that consumers are highly likely to purchase from podcast sponsors. According to the survey of 1,000 podcast listeners, nearly 2/3 of them, 65%, were more willing to consider purchasing products and services they learned about during a podcast. 60% added that given an equal price and quality, they prefer to purchase from the companies that advertise on their favorite podcast. So if you're listening to this show as a business owner, that's some powerful data. If you have a product or a service that you feel like you'd want to reach the male demographic in particular, this is the show for you. Interested parties can reach out to Luke and I at LockedOnBroncos@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to talk about it. Now, one last thing before we, well, a couple things before we get out of here is we need to talk about how the Broncos, we talked about this last week, this issue anyway, but the Broncos lost out, Luke, on the Earl Mitchell sweepstakes. They wined him, they dined him last week, they took him to a classy steak joint, but unfortunately, San Francisco offered him a 4-year, $16 million deal that's going to pay him $5.5 million in the first year, and according to Mike Kliss, Denver's deal included was pretty close, but included only $4.5 million in year one. And so Mitchell chose San Francisco. And Luke, we both liked him as a option to start at nose tackle. But at the same time, I'm glad the Broncos didn't overspend for a guy who, frankly, finished 2016 on injured reserve.
I mean, you know, this is just life in the NFL. A guy gets multiple free agency suitors. He chooses one, the end. You know, in this case, Mitchell just chose to follow the money. I think he also chose, in a sense, the place where he's going to get a lot of opportunity to start. They're going to be moving to a 4-3 defense this year in San Francisco. So they're going to kind of be just tossing that whole personnel up in the air. They've got a couple guys outside who might kick inside in Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, but neither one of them really particularly fits inside. So I think this is a perfect opportunity for Earl Mitchell to come in. It's a great situation for him just all around to be inside that defense.
Well, another interesting aspect to it is you don't often see John Elway swing at a free agent prospect and miss, as happened with Earl Mitchell. In fact, the only guy I can really think of that comes to mind where Elway did pursue him and it didn't work out was when they courted DeQuell Jackson, who ended up signing a deal with Indianapolis. So it's kind of interesting. You wonder, personally, I wonder how much, you know, their 9-7 season and not having the recruiting tool that was Peyton Manning around to lube these deals, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it quite frankly, over the last couple of years, the real draw in Denver has been Wade Phillips on the defensive side of the ball more than anything. Players love working with a coach who's kind of storied and has a real flavor to him. So I think over the last couple of years, it's been Wade Phillips much more than it's been Peyton Manning in Denver.
Well, and after the disappointment of losing out on Mitchell, the Broncos did end up bolstering their D-line in the depth there by signing defensive end Bobby Richardson, 6'3", 286 pounds. Richardson went undrafted out of Indiana back in 2015, but he caught on with New Orleans and then went on to start, I believe it was 11 games as a rookie for the Saints. The next year, they cut him, and he's since spent time with Washington and Kansas City before the Broncos signed him. Now, Luke, I don't know how familiar you are with Richardson, but do you like the signing? And you know, can Richardson be a real contributor, or is this just a developmental guy they're bringing in to kick the tires and compete in camp?
Yeah, I actually am pretty familiar with Richardson just from his time in New Orleans. Obviously, when you're a young journeyman kid kind of just bouncing around the league, you kind of end up in enough places that you're just hoping your tape gets out there to someone who can really get a look at it and, you know, really hopefully, you know, find a spot for you. I, from what I know of Richardson, you know, he started games as a rookie. That's a huge thing for him. He went to Indiana University, not really known for a lot of D-line talent, but they've put a fair number out into the league in a couple of years past. But to me, Richardson, he's a high motor guy. He's a great five tech fit in Denver. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how he really fits on this line, because I was quite frankly very impressed with him when he started for the Saints. I remember watching several games of him from that year. And, you know, this is a guy like Billy Winn who I thought, okay, this guy can come in and really be a rotational guy, if not more, for Denver.
Hmm. Well, it'll be fun to see how he fits in with Bill Kolar and everybody else there on the defensive line. But that's going to do it for today. Be sure to follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. Luke, at Luke Polglaze, myself, at Chad N. Jensen. We do love hearing from you, so hit us up and check out the other killer podcasts on the network like Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On NFL. And don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.